Thank you. So I want to evolve my application. I'm going to use Gleam and Erlang. The organization asked for slides, but this is a Lustre application, so I can't give you the slides. My name is Kiro van Gelder. I'm a freelancer from my own company. I've been using software for up to 30 years since I don't know how many platforms, languages, environments. And I happen to like the Beam, Erlang, Gleam, etc. So that's why I picked it. That's not only why I picked it. So recently I was at LangDev, model-driven stuff, all kinds of things that people showed us. One talk that spiked my interest was about, okay, well, we have a game, we have a description of a game, and while we're running the game, there's people interacting with the game. Well, there's things we don't quite like, so we're going to change the rules. And then we have to keep, the game has to keep running. So, yeah, well, okay, that looked awesome. So I thought, I can build something like that, but then I'm going to do it on Beam. Beam has these superpowers, all the reloading and things are, it seems really suited for it, so why not? And then the other thing I thought, well, if I want to do that with a game on, and I have to build some kind of infrastructure and things, let's start with a simple game. So I picked Oud Hollands Ganzenbord. You have a little goose pawn, and you have to reach the very middle spot. And if you look at it from the model and the rules, there's actually quite a few of interesting exceptions for all the kinds of places that you can kind of run around on. If you can land on a goose, you have to move twice as far. You can skip a turn. If you're in prison, you can only get released when someone else releases you. It's kind of special rules. So, what will I talk about? Tiny introduction on model-driven development. I'm going to tell you why I do the modeling Gleam. I'm going to explain a little bit about dynamic reloading as the Beam provides it for those who might not know it. I'm going to tell you why the game itself, the instance, will be running in Core Erlang, and there will be demos all along. Model-driven development. You want to have some model. Needs to have a very precise description, and at some point, me as an editor, sometimes in a computer editor, will make that description, and from that description, we generate an instance that is running what we described. Why would you want to do that? Instances sometimes are, they're compiled targets, and they know the things that they have to do, but they don't know things about themselves. A model is a description that does know it. A very nice example that was given on that LangDev was about a Dutch income tax. This is described in laws. Computers do not interpret laws. But they went through the effort. They went through the effort to take the law, adjust it a little bit, so they did it together with lawyers to make sure you get something that a computer could interpret. Laws might have ambiguities or vagueness things in there, computers don't. Then they had these more precise versions of the law, and from that model, they generated Java code. Dutch income tax is running on Java code at the moment. Additional things you can do once you have it in the model is you can start reasoning about it. So by now, I understand that even if they want to introduce a new law, you can just plug it in the system and see, is there any contradiction here? If so, please adjust this law proposal. Often you'll have a domain-specific language, like the adjusted law. For my Ganzenbord, you could have stuff like this. Often people will want to edit these DSLs by hand, but I'm very much interested in small deltas. If I have a running game and I make a big modification in here, I don't have a game. So I need to make sure I do a small step, a small delta. So I have to, with what I do, I have to restrict the possible edits that can be done, which I call deltas. How does that look? Building a system called Eagle. It's running on a server. That is Beam. I have a browser. That's my client. From the client, I do the editing of the model. From there, I generate my instance, my game, and then from the same or a different browser, I view the game and I play the game. why would I want to do a model in Gleam? Well, the model should be as precise as possible, as I just explained. Gleam gives us types. Type safety is more than non-type safety, so I want to use Gleam. Another benefit, a superpower of Gleam, you can compile it both to Erlang and to JavaScript, so I can, if I have my model and I can somehow transmit it, I can just use the exact same code on both sides of my client server, and I know that it's the same thing. Saves me work. What does it look like? I have my model here. So in my Lustre app, I now have an iframe. This iframe is the model client that I showed in the previous picture. It's an iframe, so it's a web page. But as you might guess, that web page, again, is a Lustre app. And I want to grow the Ganzenbord from as minimal a thing as possible in small deltas. So let's see where we can start. My model is very simple. It's a bit too simple here, so I need a bit more of a model. I can make a list of an int. I could even make a list of a list of an int, and it's represented here. And I not only want to describe that I have some type, it also needs to have some default value. In addition to that, we have a cell. My Ganzenbord isn't quite finished yet, sorry. I have a plain cell, the starting, the finish, and I might even use the goose. And right now, what I also have then is a game type. It has a board, which has a list of cells, and it has pawns, which are a list of numbers indexing where the pawns are. It's a choice. There are other choices. And the default of my Ganzenbord then has one cell at the moment, which is plain, which is a bit ridiculous. So hey, let's add a few more cells and say we're gonna start at some of these things. And of course, the default that I gave to the int turned out to be a bit awkward because I wanted it to be zero. So I mess a bit with my model. In very small steps, I modify my description to get, hopefully, to a better place. Dynamic reload. Erlang and Beam provides us the tools to do this dynamic upload. This is a loop. Usually there's a process running on the Beam that is executing this loop. It has been started by another process. And generally, it receives messages, handles them, sends back some result. That's what the from exclamation mark is. It sends back some result. Could be errors, could be part of the new state. And then it loops. And another possible message could be, well, just stop, and then you don't loop. All there is to it. What Erlang and Beam also provide is a way to load new code into your into the Beam for a specific module. That's the code module in the Erlang kernel package. You call load binary here in the middle. Target is the target module. The thing in square brackets is the file name that it would be coming from. We don't care. And the object code is compiled core Erlang code. At that point, when you do that, you have your old version of the code in the Beam, and you have a new version of the code in the Beam. But the existing processes, my game, my Ganzenbord, is still running the old stuff. So now I'm going to send a message upgrade to my Ganzenbord process. And it, roughly like that, this is the same loop as before, but now I have the relevant upgrade part. Instead of just looping, which would loop in my old code, I have to say, format this module for my target module, my Ganzenbord module, explicitly specify the module with the loop, and then it's guaranteed to use the new version of the code. And then I can happily play along my game with upgraded code. Now, why do we do that in Erlang? The difference between the local loop and the exported loop is something that Gleam does not know, so can't do it. Why did I pick core Erlang? Because we can do this all in memory. No need to use file systems and other things. There is an Erlang CERL library that can generate these things. I wrapped it for Gleam, and that's called GenCore Erlang, and you can find it on Hex. So, Let's start a game. I already made the type properly, so I'm ready to create a game. If I hit connect to the server, it won't do anything here, but if I create an instance, it's now, and I hit connect, it will connect to the game. So as you can see, it picked up the start plane from the definitions that I had at the left. It also picked up a move button. The rules, there are some implicit rules that I did not edit things about, that I did not tell anything about. I need to be able to do something in my game, so there's a hard-coded move that will just move the pawn one forward. And there's also a check for the win condition. So where the pawn is, it has to check on the board whether that's a finished location. And that rule is going on continuously. I have not made nice deltas and things for that in the UI, but at some point I will. But these things are running in the background in the instance. And at least I'll show you the move. If I move, my pawn moves one forward. So yay, getting closer to the finish in my Ganzenbord. All right, so a little bit more about the bits and pieces that are happening. There's JSON communication from the browser to the server for the model. Whenever there is a delta that's made, we just recreate the entire instance module in Erlang, core Erlang, reloaded and upgraded. And the instance just keeps talking to it, doesn't even notice it from the client, and also talks in terms of JSON with it. State and rules, the initial state is something that should be adjusted, and rules are... So rule is something that is in the model. I talk about a conceptual thing there. My instance doesn't know the rule, it just has code. And my client doesn't know what the rule is either. It just knows whether it can do something or cannot do something. So what is important that I wanted to make as two kind of changes. Some changes that when I do that, the instance will in the end see it. So I'm going to change the board. And that when I change the board, it's going to compile the change into the core Erlang, reload it, do some small migration, and then also pass that information to our client. So here we have it again. If I turn this into a goose, for instance, it becomes a goose. So that was one recompilation of Erlang in the back button. Now I make another plane. I can add another one if I want to. And well, at some point, I'm going to have to reach the finish here. So let's make that. That was a 3-4 recompilations of things in memory and moving on. Evolving. But another one thing that I might want to change, because I can also create multiple instances, is my starting state. And that would mean that the only thing that happens if I change that from my client, it changes my model, but nothing else. Unless I don't start a new instance, nothing happens with it. And that looks like this. So I have a game one and a game two. Game two hasn't been started yet. And if I change this one from 0 to 1, now I start at position 1, then we notice that in game 1 nothing happened. But if I start a new instance, then this one will now start at position 1 instead of position 0. And just to make to show that even though it shows 2, it didn't change to 1 but didn't show it, if I move, it will go to 3. And where did I put the finish today? On start, 0, 1, 3, on number 4. I'll just move to 4. There, I finished my game. I won. So things I want to do in the future. I'm very much interested in what kind of deltas are usable, sensible. You saw me adding cells to a board. You saw me change the type of the board. Okay, what if I remove a cell from the board? Yeah, what if the pawn is on there? Ah, it quickly becomes like, you could think of a couple of solutions for when you remove the cell from the board. You move the pawn to the previous or the next cell, or you remove it, or you put it on cell zero. But how do you pick one? Depends on your application. So I really want to look more into that. Another thing is that I don't think the Ganzen board UI that I had looks very nice. It would be much better if it looked like the second slide that I showed. But if I do that, then the client really knows about Ganzen board. But what if I want to make a slightly different game? So, okay, and what if my Ganzen board knows about most of the things I do, but I add that labyrinth thing? Now I want to render a nice labyrinth. Okay, can I make something that knows its Ganzen board, but can also adjust to changes that I make in the model that expand on what was already there that it didn't know about in the start? And obviously, it needs to be multiplayer, because playing on my own is, I want you all to play with me. All right. The code that you saw in the iframes is in the top link. While reasoning about this, I also wrote a little a start of a Gleam library that generates Gleam code, which is the second link. The one that generates Core Erlang is the third link, my own webpage, the fourth. And if you want to know what the Dutch income tax is looking like, it's all in there. Thank you.
We have time for a couple of questions. If anyone? Any? Okay.
Hello. Thank you for that. Really quite amazing technology there. I was wondering, do you have thoughts on like when you might decide to apply these sorts of techniques to a problem? Like when it would be appropriate?
Yeah, okay. Question is when this kind of solution would apply to a problem. I might not be the best person to answer this because I'm somewhat new to model driven. It helps when that description is going to give you something, whether that is checking that something is coherent or correct. The model should give you something. When not to do it, well, if you just want to play Ganzen board, just make a Ganzen board server and a Ganzen board client, because it's much faster, much quicker to build. So it is an investment. It's quite an investment. It's not just not 10% extra. It's a factor, much, possibly 5-10 extra, to make sure that you can really do that kind of stuff.
Other question? No. It was the same question.
Because it's fun.
Are there? Okay.
Yeah, that was really, really cool, really interesting. When you changed like the initial state, you showed that like the running client didn't update, right? Like it didn't.
Yep.
It didn't retroactively apply anything. Because all these updates are triggered through messages, is it possible that you could replay message history from the beginning with a running client? So like if I updated the initial state of a running process, could I then replay all of the messages it's received so that the change propagates?
There's two answers to that, I guess. Is it possible to replay all the events that happened, both to the model and the instance, or just to the instance game?
Just to the instance.
Just to the instance. At the moment, no.
But would you want to?
Would be interesting. One way in which at least the part of the answer would be yes is if you look at the model. When I say, please change this in this way with this delta, the server will respond by just giving you back, yep, I applied this delta, now you do too.
Any other questions? Okay, thank you then.
Thank you.